We're going to continue today in Luke chapter 15. Last week, just to back up a little bit, we did what is called the prodigal son. That's what this story is called. That's what it's referred to as the prodigal son. And we saw that story because, you remember, he exhibited the characteristics of true repentance. That's when he was in the hog pen, you remember? He was in the hog pen. He didn't have to go there. He chose to go there. He ended up in a hog pen, and he finally came to himself. He came to his senses, and true repentance will bring you back to the Savior. So we left our character. He's on his way back out of the hog pen, and he's marching back to his daddy's farm, which is a place he wanted to leave because he heard that the essence of life was to get away from the Father. And so he found out, though, that the essence of life was what? Come home to the Father.
Yes.
So he's on his way back. You can disagree with him, but you can't prove it wrong. I believe on the way back, he is practicing his speech.
Yeah.
He didn't want to mess up. And I'm grabbing his emotions. That he's practicing. Here's what his speech. It's right there in Luke 15. Father, I've sinned against heaven, God. I've sinned against you. And I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Just let me sleep in the bunkhouse. That's what he's saying to himself. Treat me as a hired servant. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Okay. Stay with me. And so he's going back, and he's, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you, I'm no more worthy. And he's walking back, and you remember, he's been in a hog pen, there's been a famine, probably his shoes were tattered and torn. I'm not saying he may have not had any, I don't know. But his clothes were all raggedy and smelly and stinky and grunty. And so he's on his way back, and he's practicing, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. Then we pick up with the story as we get into what is called the forgiving father. He's the second character of the story. You have the struggling son, and now you got the forgiving father. And so in Luke chapter 15, verse 20, you remember this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Because in verse 19, he says, or 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no more worthy because your son made me a hired servant. Verse 20, great, great verse. And he arose and came to his father. It was not important what he said he was going to do. What was important is what he did. And he rose and he's going back to the father. Here he is, picture. He's going back down that dusty road. And he arose and went to the father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here's what I believe. This is what everybody believes, okay, about the scripture. I believe that the father was on the porch. Mm-hmm. I believe he was somewhere where he could watch. It says right here, he wrote, but when he was a great way off, I think he positioned himself to look for the boy to come home. I believe he knew his son well enough that he wasn't going to come home unless he was broken. Because I believe that boy was hard-headed enough that he wasn't coming back so that daddy could say, I told you so. But if he was coming back down that road, I believe the daddy, this daddy knew that boy's heart. He knew it. He knew it. He knows his two boys. And it says when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Gary, this is what I believe about this scene. As the boy's marching down the road, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Let me sleep in the bunkhouse. I believe the father saw him. I believe he picked up the skirt of his garment. He didn't want to be impeded. And the Bible said he ran. Excuse me. I believe he hooked it. I believe he ran. I believe he ran to encounter that son. The boy didn't have a clue what was going on. Father, I've sinned against heaven. He's got his head down. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no more worthy to call your son. Let me sleep in the bunkhouse. Father, I've sinned against... And all of a sudden, these two individuals on that road collided. The Bible says that when the father saw him, had compassion, he ran, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. I believe he grabbed that boy, and he's hugging him, he's kissing. And the boy's trying, Father, wait, I gotta tell you something. Oh, Father, I've sinned against God, I've sinned against you, I'm not even worthy. This is verse 21. And the son said, I've sinned against heaven and against your sight, I'm no worthy to be called your son. What is the first word in verse 22, Gary?
But.
Circle it. Remember, I told you don't overlook the little words. The father was not listening to the boy's speech. He didn't care what it was.
Yeah.
He had already forgiven this boy in his heart. He knew if he was coming home, he had already asked for forgiveness. and he was coming home. And he didn't have to give a speech up there. Father said, and then the father turned around, verse 22, and he told the servants, "Hey, you come here, come here, come here, come here. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." God, those clothes stink, son. Put the robe around him. Follow with me now. And he said, put it on. Put a ring on his hands. And put some shoes. Son, wear your shoes. Put some shoes on his feet. Then he turned to the servants. Verse 23. Oh, I hope you have the Bible, because you won't think I make this up. Bring here the fatted calf and kill it. And let's have a barbecue and be merry. He gave the servants the rest of the day off. Hey, get word out there. Get out of the field here. We're having a barbecue. We're having a party. Why? Because look at the next verse. For verse 24, what does it say?
For this my son,
not my servant. For this my son was dead, I thought, and he is what?
Alive.
He was lost, but what is
he? Found.
And they began to do what?
Celebrate,
have a party. Let's get into the lesson today. Here's what true forgiveness will be marked by. Number one, you see it right here. True forgiveness removes the past. He didn't bring up his past. He didn't bring up what he had done. It removes the past. It is an act of forgiving. And in Psalms 103, verses 10 through 12, he takes your sin and he throws it as far as the east is from the west. Also, what true forgiveness does in removing the past, it is an act of cleansing. 1 John 1:9, a popular verse here. If you will confess your sin, I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You see, it's an act of cleansing. I'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But true forgiveness, as it removes the past, is an act of mercy. It's mercy. Mercy and grace right there. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 5:8, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God commended his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so here's what this true forgiveness showed up. It removed the boy's past. Now, here's the hardest thing about this. This boy, it's harder for this boy to forgive himself than for the father to forgive the boy. That's the way it is with us. Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves once we've gone and asked for forgiveness or something. We keep remembering it, but he doesn't remember it anyway. And so what true forgiveness does, it removes the past. Number two, what true forgiveness will do, it restores the person. Look here, which we follow along in your verses there, verse 22 and 23. He gave him three articles. One article the father gave him was an article of the robe. That is what I call a robe of righteousness. But because, you see, when the father saw him, he saw the tattered clothes, he saw the condition he was in. He went and took his robe, watch it now, and he covered that boy with his robe. And so when the father looked at the boy now, did he see the evidence of his sin? No. He saw his robe of righteousness. Yes. It was hard to accept. The second thing is he gave him an article of the ring. He took a ring and he placed it on his finger. And this is a sign of authority. This is a son of the Father. He's not a servant in the bunkhouse. He is a son of the Father. And it's a ring of authority. And they used to use rings as a symbol of authority. It was he's restoring him. You see what's happening to him? He also gave him the article of the shoes. I call it the sign of worthiness. What does this mean, Emery? You are worthy to walk anywhere you want to. You're a child of the Father. The robe of righteousness, the ring of authority, and then this article of clothes, which is being worthy to go anywhere you want to. See, true forgiveness is going to remove the past. It will restore the person. And number three, it rejoices always. Oh, it's right here. I love this story because it's right there. Look at verse number 20, 24. It gave an attitude of thankfulness. For this my son was lost. He's been found. For this my son I thought was dead. Is he alive? You think this father's not thankful? That boy didn't have to come home. He didn't have to come home.
It's an attitude of thankfulness for this my son. Number two, it's an attitude of sharing. Kill the fatted calf. He didn't have to do that, the father. He gave the servants the rest of the day off. He killed the fatted calf. He's having a barbecue. And he had an attitude of sharing. And then the third, he showed an attitude of praise. We begin to make merry. We begin to make merry. There's two concepts you'll hear me speak of in here multiple times. One is called the certificate of debt. You find that in Colossians chapter 2. Verses 13 through 14. It talks about that our certificate of debt, what we owed, has been nailed to the cross. Our offenses have been nailed to the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our sin and nailed it. In those days, back then, if you were ever put into prison, into a prison cell, they would, on the outside of the door of your prison cell, they had a parchment of that they would roll up and they would nail it up there. And it listed all your offenses on that parchment. And when you completed your sentence, what the Roman government would do, they would take that parchment down off that door and they would write across it in Latin, paid in full. They would roll it up, give it to you, and you better carry it with you. In case someone encounters you thinking you've escaped from prison, you have it right there. This is my certificate of debt. It's been paid for in full. And that's what happened to us when our sins were nailed to the cross. The other concept I want you to see that was hard for this boy is what I call the yoke of guilt. It's Galatians 5:1. Jesus Christ died on a cross to set us free. Do not pick up that yoke of burden, guilt, and put it back on your bony neck. And that's what Galatians 5:1 says. You do not have the right, once you've been forgiven, to put that yoke of burden, around your neck. You've been forgiven. You have been forgiven. The forgiving Father, he showed these characteristics of removing the past and restoring this person and rejoicing always. And so they're having a party. Can you got the picture now? They've taken the rest of the day off. The servants, aren't they glad? They're having a barbecue. They kill the fatted calf. They're having a party. They're being merry. And the boy standing over there, he's in daze. He's got that big hunk of robe around him. He's got shoes on, probably don't fit his feet. He's got that ring on him. And he's experiencing all this love and all this compassion from the father because the boy came home. Well, that's not the end of the story because we got one more character to deal with.
Yeah.
We got the bitter brother coming up next week. But there are some things that we need to remember from this right here. Here's some moments for you to remember. Number one, God is always waiting and watching for us to come home. All the three parables in the Bible about the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. Someone's looking for them. You see, we find the Father looking, but when he was yet a far way off, the Father saw him, and he ran, and he hooked it. Number two moment, God always receives us with dignity and compassion. He never asks, hey, did you learn anything, boy? That's kind of what we do. Did you learn anything? He knew that boy wouldn't be coming home unless he was broken in his heart over his sin. The Father was easy to forgive him, and he received him with dignity. Let me remind you, the father ran and sought him out. He hugged him, braced him up. Here's what I believe about that. I believe the scripture said he braced him up. He fell on him. And I believe the boy emotionally just collapsed. The father wouldn't let him go down. He kept holding him up. He kept holding him up as he's embracing him and kissing him, holding him up. He's bracing him up here as the boy wanted to go to the ground, feeling unworthy. And he kissed him, an expression of love, and he kissed him. Number three, God had done more than just saving us. And he showed this in this. We've talked about this over and over again. You've got justification in your salvation when you were saved. You have a process called justification. It's past tense. That when I was saved, when I was 19 years old, when God saved me, it was just as if I'd never sinned.
Right.
You've experienced justification. I know these are big words. Yeah. And now what we're doing, we're walking in a time in my life and your life, what is called sanctification. That we are being sanctified. We're in the process. See, we were saved. We are being saved. And we're being saved every day. It's a process. Because number three, thank you, Jesus, we're going to go through what is called glorification. That's when we die. When we die, we'll be glorified. And so this whole process of justification, sanctification, and glorification is just like conjugating this English here. Well, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I'm going to be saved. And that's the process. Justification and glorification are one-time events. They only happen one time. But in between is a whole lot of days of sanctification. And I'm not completely ready, you know? We're being sanctified daily. But God has done more to us than just saving us. Then number four, God's forgiveness is not dependent upon our self-forgiveness. Sometimes we struggle with God's forgiveness. Sometimes we struggle with other people's forgiveness of others, of us. And I've had that happen in my life. And if you let that linger, that's called false guilt. The person, and God especially, has already forgiven you, and you can't forgive yourself. And so a lot of us struggle with that in this process here. A lot of us struggle with it. Next week, we're going to look at the Bible character of the bitter brother. You see, everything the boy went away for, he found where? At home. The essence of life is to get away from the Father, but in reality, the essence of life is to come home to the Father. This man, this prodigal son's father, demonstrated true forgiveness to me just as strongly as the prodigal son demonstrated true repentance to me. But next week, we're going to see the elder brother who's going to demonstrate to me and you true bitterness. And the end result of that, and we deal with that next week. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for our class. I thank you for today. I thank you for these scripture from your word in Luke 15. It's all right there staring at us in the face. I thank you for this lesson today of us being reminded of your forgiveness over us. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't buy it. We can't pay for it. It is your gift to us. It is mercy and grace. We don't get what we deserve, and we also get what we don't deserve, and that's grace. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all.